जय जय गुरुदेव 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 गौतमानंद जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवचकाचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमद His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Stotra Tashi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaur Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop, Gopina Shamkun Radha Kun Kiri Govardhan Ki Jai. वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की जय नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय गंगा मई की जय जमुना मई की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी देवी की जय सामवेद भक्त वृंद की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततोचयामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी So we are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Chapter entitled The Pandavas Retire Timely, Text 29. So please repeat after me.
Vasudevan Granayudhyana परिभ्रमित रम्हसा भक्त्या निर्मथा तीतेश कषाय धीषणोऽर्जुन वासुदेवान् गृणयनोद्यान परिभ्रमित रम्हसा भक्त्या निर्मथा तीतेशेष कषाय धीषणो अर्जुना वासुदेवान् गृणयुध्यान परिभ्रमिता रमसा भक्त्या निर्मथिता शेष कषाय धीषणो अर्जुना वासुदेवान् गृणयुध्यान परिभ्रमिता रम्हसा भक्त्या निर्मथा कीटेश कषाय धीषणोऽर्जुन वासुदेवान् गृणयुध्यान परिभ्रमिता रम्हसा भक्त्या निर्मथा कीटेश कषाय धीषणोऽर्जुन वासुदेवान् गृणयुध्यान परिभ्रमिता रम्हसा भक्त्या निर्मथा कीटेश कषाय धीषणोऽर्जुन माताजी Vasudeva Anagri,
the lotus feet of the Lord, Anudhyana, by constant remembrance, Paribrahmita, expanded, Ramhasa, with great velocity, Bhaktya, in devotion, Nirmatita, subsided, Ashesha, unlimited, Kashaya, Dint, Dishana, conception, Arjuna. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. Purport. Material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination. By such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. Birth after birth, the conditioned soul is entrapped with so many pleasing and displeasing elements, which are all false and temporary. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. But when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord in His variegated energies by devotional service, the naked forms of all material desires become manifest, and the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. As soon as Arjuna turned his attention towards the instructions of the Lord, as they are inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita, his true color of eternal association with the Lord became manifest, and thus he felt freed from all material contaminations.
Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Vita Shri Vishakhanvitamsa Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shubhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Asadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So, welcome to all the devotees gathered here for the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this continuation of the post departure of Lord Krishna, and Arjuna's very interesting expressions. How he comes around from his pain and is almost disoriented when he's devastated, when he's his all in all is Krishna's not there. And then now he's, as we see in these and following verses, how his true colors, as Prabhupada said, come out in the in full bloom. So in this verse, we actually have the complete substance of the Krishna consciousness, if I put in one sentence, because it covers both the what we, as Prabhupada, as Sukadeva Goswami uses the word trash. I mean, I was quite interested with another word. This is a modern word, but all the trash in the, so we all have material desires, which is the trash. And then, on the other end, you have increasing pure devotion service, which is the cure. So here, in one sentence, you have the essence of the problem and the essence of the solution together. But one might say, very rightly, that what is the, I mean, the easier said than done, because it is true that, I think we all experience that, that it is not so, it's a, in one sentence, we are encapsulating our entire lifetime, all the years that we have after we have been given some knowledge. So, there is, what happens with to our desires? We succumb to our desires, our temptations, which is the, you know, the V curves that happen, going up and down. Nowadays, in this pandemic, we kept hearing about the economy having a V-shaped recovery. That means you go up, then you go down, you go up, go down. So right now, nobody knows how long it will go down, but everyone is expecting that there will be a V. So in a devotee's life also, there is a... it may not be a sharp curve. Hopefully, we don't have a complete fall down. But clearly, there are volatility, variations that is inevitably there. So in that situation, what is the hope? I mean, is our spiritual life finished? That we succumb, everybody will, most of us will probably succumb to it even after coming to this glorious knowledge. So then we have the story of Ajamil, which is of great, well, fear and hope. We have both the situations. And as the story shows, that Ajamil, when he ultimately saw the, you know, he was born in a very Brahminical family, and then he became a debaucher. He, you know, he met this prostitute, and then he spent virtually his entire life in misery. But towards the end, when he's about to die, he calls out the name of his grandson Narayan, and he sees the Vishnu Dutas and the Yama Dutas come together. He sees them discussing, he sees them, he has a glimpse of the Vishnu Dutas. But then what happens to him? What happens to Ajamil's consciousness? How it completely changes? So we see that there is atonement and then there is penance. So, atonement, you know, the process of atonement and penance, how sincere it is, in the case of Ajamil, at one glance, he completely saw this whole life of how he has wasted the opportunity he had, the wonderful upbringing he had. But then when he saw the consequences of what he has done and what he is going to face and what it became so deep-rooted that over the next 12 years, he became fit to go back to Godhead. So we could see that he, the 12 years of penance, really, brought him to the level of fit to go to the spiritual world. So that is the hope. So he balanced, he had that sheer fear. The fear didn't depress him. The fear brought out the urgency of what he needs to do. And that is really where we are, where we can identify with that situation. Whenever we have erred, or in whatever way, it may be small or big, it may be momentary, it may be frequent, it may be in passing, you know, it can be in so many ways. But what we see here, that in Ajami's case, he has spent his virtual lifetime, almost his, most of his adult lifetime, in throwing away what he had. And yet he, at an age of almost 80 or so, he kind of brought back his consciousness and lived the last 12 years. So, you know, as he said that I am completely, he without any, unequivocally, without any defensiveness, he completely, his admission, okay, I'm such a fallen soul, and he admits everything, like, you know, what I have done and how I have wasted my life. So he brings everything out. You know, and sometimes we have a tendency to, you know, try to bring something out, but also justify. There's no, he has very clearly, that is a demonstration of sincerity. So a sincere devotee is one who takes Maya and Krishna seriously together, both the things. And Maya gives us that, like in Ajami's case, he succumbed, and we also, in fact, if anything, we are in a much more difficult situation in this Kali Yuga, because we have so much of challenges. It's very bewildering. And the minute we step out of the association, and when, you know, when we are on our own, which we inevitably are, ultimately we have to face our own responsibilities on our own. So when we see this environment which is more difficult, we, if it gives us that fear of always being aware of what we are doing, and if we have transgressed, if we have spoken by word or by action or by deed, and then if we are in the association through various means, primarily through chanting, through our through the philosophy and through the examples of other devotees, we get the chance to, if our desire is to come back, then we can, it's like saying, no, sometimes one step, two steps front, then we may take half a step back, we may take five steps in the front, after that again you may fall, have a one step back. So the step back means you may have, we are learning, we are making mistakes. It may be serious mistakes, it may be small mistakes, but that awareness is a sign of sincerity also. But Krishna will definitely look at sincerity by the desire to atone. But the atonement has to be genuine. Radha Gopinath Prabhu, once he gave this very nice story of this man who was going to the church to confess, and he, after his full confession of all the nonsense he had done, the priest told him, this is really bad, you have to pay $20. So he paid the $20. The next Sunday when he came, again he confessed, and still, you know, there was so much of bad actions, so you have to pay $20. He paid the $20. Again he came after the third week, and again he confessed and said, no, you have to pay $20. He paid. Again the fourth week he came, so again he made so many, when he admitted everything, then he said, no, you have to pay $20. So he paid $40. So why are you paying $40? Because the next Sunday I won't be able to come. So he's kind of, it became a routine for him. So if that's the kind of atonement, then it isn't really serious. And it happens to all religions. It's not just in this case. You have people, I've come across, there's a colleague of mine who's born a Brahmin, so he has a janai. So sometime when we are going to the washroom, you know, he'll put his janai up. But then when I see him and we have lunch together, then outside, with, he's in marketing, so he has non-veg and he drinks. So, you know, the value is of none. There is also another Jain friend who, in that, during the Pajushan, he doesn't touch alcohol. But remaining times is okay. And he's really very, you know, it's a very matter of pride for him that, you know, for those 7 or 8 days, he doesn't take alcohol. So that kind of atonement, or saying that in the Shravan month I don't eat non-veg, no, absolutely don't touch it. What happens, the remaining 11 months is not an issue, that's a minor thing, but this 1 month I cannot. So this kind of bargaining, or this kind of coming to our own conclusions, and as you said, we are not only the criminal, but we are also the jury and the judge. So that's not going to work with Krishna. So Krishna sees the atonement. That is the reason why we, in association, that is where we also need a guru or a mentor to tell us where we are going wrong. Also, Krishna is in our heart, and we know that He knows everything, and He also reciprocates. So, in that same class of Radha Gopinath Prabhu, when he was talking about this, he also made a very good point, which is a very simple point, but it didn't strike me, that we know that knowledge, forgetfulness, and remembrance all come from Krishna. But Krishna is reciprocating, and He wants us to know what we want to do. So, basically, that we have to ask that question, that if He's Krishna's within, if you want forgetfulness, Krishna will provide. So, let us not say that I forgot. Normally, when we talk of forgetfulness, we're saying that something else made me forget. No, it is we are responsible for forgetting. This is where, if we come to that realization as often as we can, that if we are forgetting means if we are deviating, or if we are avoiding, if we missing, it's primarily our own, the tools are in our hand. So, similarly, so Krishna will create the situation, He create the circumstances by which we'll forget. On the other hand, if we want to remember, Krishna will give us all the possible help. The challenges that come, we say, oh, it's the mercy of Krishna. It is. Because actually that's something which is prodding us. You know, it's like you're going on a narrow path and you carelessly are going to go off and fall down 1,000 feet and somebody comes and knocks you badly to put you back on straight, you don't blame him because you say, thank God, He saved me. So it's like that. But we don't see Krishna physically, so we don't see Him. But by the various actions that happen to us, it's like a nod or a knock or a to put us back on the track so that we just don't fall off the cliff. So, and how many of us would look back and be able to say that, if we just analyze, that we have really benefited from some of the worst situations in our life? Because those are the things which really somehow maybe brought the seriousness in with us. So basically it comes down to what we want. If we want X, I will get X. If we want Y, Krishna will provide the situation. So forgetfulness and remembrance both comes from Him. So basically, Krishna controls both the energies, right? The external energy, the what we call Maya, and the internal energy, means Mahamaya, Yogamaya, both are from Krishna. And for Him, it is one and the same. But for us, one is binding, one is liberating. So, depending on how we act, you know, we are inviting either a progress or a challenge. And Krishna says repeatedly that actually by devotional service we can, by coming to, in the, because devotional service is the only way really where we can, actually devotional service is a unique medicine because we are, it's also a prevention as well as a cure. Normally if we are sick, you know, if we take some preventions by avoiding this, avoiding that. But then if you have serious sickness, typhoid or malaria, then we have pills, two different things. Here, devotional service is what, if we start, we will avoid the pitfalls. But let's assume that we are careless and we have a fall down or we have a problem and we have erred and we are moving away from Krishna. Again, the solution is devotional service. But devotional service in sincerity is critical. And we'll touch upon that a little later also. But just now, if we just take a few examples of how serious people who might, we saw in Ajamil's case how he was almost at the brink of disaster and he came back. So, same way we talk of Haridas Thakur when he converted that prostitute who was sent to for his downfall. And Haridas Thakur turned her into such a great Vaishnavi that actually people from all over the country were coming to just meet her, not only meet her, but take darshan of her because she, you know, she had become such a saintly person. So the transformation happened because of the sincerity that she showed. Similarly, in the case of Jagai and Madai also we see that they were the worst criminals. They did all kinds of actions during the time that they were doing, and that was in the presence of Lord Chaitanya and especially Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. And then when Madai hit Nityananda Prabhu, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu almost decapitated him practically, but Lord Nityananda saved him. So at that time, Lord Nityananda said, I have forgiven you, everything is over. The Lord says that. But see, the transformation in Jagai and Madai, especially Madai, because Madai came to Lord Nityananda and said that, I am totally miserable, you have forgiven me, you are great, but you know what, I cannot forget what I have done, because I actually, you know, you are the Supreme Lord and I have caused bleeding, you know, I mean, I caused such grievous hurt, so I am still very miserable. And you have forgiven me, but there are thousands of people I have affected. And these people, I've tortured them, I've done all kinds of nonsense to them, and I'm so miserable, I don't know what I can do, because, but they will not forgive me. So then Lord Nityananda then advised him to, you know, make a small ghat, because people would come to collect water for various things, washing clothes, drinking water. So, and then he started sitting there and helping the devotees, the people who are coming there, you know, either you help them to wash their clothes or fill the water or to clean the pots and give them back. And, you know, just seeing him sitting there transformed so many hearts, because I had seen him in the worst. But there were still some people who had really been affected. Just like, you know, we see today when people are themselves personally affected, it's not easy to forgive. And you've seen, so there were some who still couldn't forgive him, because he had done some terrible things to their child or to themselves or to their family and caused ruination. So they actually, now knowing that he's become very saintly and very mellowed down, quiet, and at least he had spoken all that, so they started throwing stones also at him. And they were took the opportunity also, because to take out their anger. And Madhai's reaction was that he was actually presenting more stones to them and saying that actually I deserve more. You know, what I have done to you is far, far worse than what, there's nothing compared to what I have done. You need to actually stone me even more and kill me also. So seeing the genuineness of his remorse, his repentance, that really then there was nobody left in Navadvip who didn't see the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, on the worst type of criminals. And then coming to our own world, in the, which we identify, when Srila Prabhupada went to the West and he brought the Westerners, the devotees there, and by Westerners, I mean, I would say probably I also identify as Westerners, because Western thinking, Western background. So there's a very little difference between actually born in Western, but still. And then he said, when he brought them here, he was saying, these are my dancing white elephants. So it was a glaring example of how there is a complete transformation when there is sincerity. These are the same devotees whose backgrounds were that they had thrown away whatever affluence they had, but they had also thrown away their their present life and gone into, many of them had also indulged in some temporary degraded activities, but having come in contact with Lord Srila Prabhupada, then the transformation took such a, made them completely realize, and this was 55 years ago. So to say that we have, you know, people who have completely transformed their lives, this is, we can't be blind to this, that this is really the living philosophy, that actually how devotional service can transform life. Doesn't matter where you are, you know, people from all over the world, it's not just in India who can have that opportunity. So the sincerity of purpose is the bottom line in how we perform devotional service.
And Prabhupada also said that what will help us is if we also always consider where we came from, what our situation was, and where we are today. So, this also, it is, everything is relative, but then it gives us a better understanding, not only understanding, but also a perspective. So sometimes when we are facing challenges and sometimes we are feeling, maybe defiant, rebellious, maybe our nature is actually going against us. But at some point in time, if we have this thought and we see what was our situation and where we are today, because then we know that we have not done anything. We have really not done anything. It is like somebody blindfolded us outside the room and then brought us in front of something, a treasure house. We don't even know how we came here. So this, this Prabhupada's point about that we should consider where we came from and how and what is our present situation is the how fortunate we are. So if that becomes second nature to us, that always considering our good fortune, then that will always be an impetus for us to remain on the proper path. Now in devotional service, we are told and we also to some extent experience that we do have contentment, happiness. But, it is still, we can say that there are far more, if you just take an example of, let's say, to simplify, just to take a number that, let's say, there are 10,000 people connected to the Chaupati temple and staying inside, outside, or coming here. So 10,000 people, you can say, are definitely doing devotional service. To a large extent, less extent, full extent, but they're doing devotional service. But there are less people than 10,000 who are happy. So the happiness, many may be happy, but it is the happiness is not is not immediately. It depends what we are looking for. As Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhu mentions often in his class that happiness is it is a byproduct. So basically, how we look at it, like if we are even in material life, it's a byproduct because we generally have a goal, we try to pursue that, and then with the effort that whatever we achieve, we are absorbed in something, and then that gives us certain happiness. So here also, if we are trying to do activities which are only which we are doing because we want happiness, that is why we are doing it, then we will fall short. But if we are doing it as a service, because it is pleasing to other devotees and we will get satisfaction and happiness, that is much more lasting. And we have all experienced that we, at any time, people who say if they have gone to the movies or they've gone to hill stations or when they've gone taken vacations, how long will they go there? We've not heard of anyone gone for 3 years for a vacation. Or 6 years in, has seen maybe 6 days, 18 shows in a movie continuously. We've never heard of that. Because how many will they go to, one or two shows? So there is a temporary rest because it doesn't last. Right? So therefore, we can see that we can identify with that. Here we can see that there is a contentment because the purpose is that we are not doing it just for ourselves and for our senses, the sensual level, but we are doing this because not only we are convinced, but we also have experienced it, that how we, when we attempt to serve, whatever we do, whether we are chanting, whether we are dressing the deities, distributing books, donating, providing facilities, preaching, any activities that we may be doing, even raising children or trying to create a home into a Krishna conscious home. It is really whether we are doing it as a service to Krishna, which means that we are doing it with the prime desire to serve Krishna through his devotees. If that becomes the uppermost desire, then everything else, we'll see that contentment, happiness, satisfaction, it will just happen. We don't have to look for it with a torch. It is an automatic flow. But if we are pursuing activities to try to squeeze happiness out of it, even in spiritual life, then we will be frustrated. Because we have various thoughts, like, you know, we have think that we have a certain goal, that it must be, I must achieve this. And it doesn't happen, then we get frustrated. So, we have defined our happiness as per our own, as per our, our success definition, even in spiritual life, defines our happiness. That we are pursuing and saying that I will be, if I'm success, I'll be successful in spiritual life if I achieve A, B, C. And if I don't get that, then I'm not happy. If I get that, I'm happy. So we, in a sense, are actually driving our own thinking, our own defining it in a very specific, narrow sense. So, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, that since we are part of Krishna, he has explained it very nicely philosophically, that Krishna is, you know, his pleasure-giving potency is unlimited. But ours, because we are part of Krishna, and if we are moving away from Krishna and trying to find it on our own, then our capacity itself of pleasure-giving or pleasure-gaining potency is so limited, so tiny, that it is inconsequential. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, that we, if we dovetail it, if we just link up to the larger, to Krishna's pleasure-giving potency, and it's just like a small stream just joins the big river, and then the big river goes into the sea. So the stream is part of the sea, but, you know, it is now part of the ocean, but it also keeps its own identity. So then we find full happiness, which is eternal, because Krishna is eternal. So also it will be constant, because our flickering and intermittent happiness that we get is because we are not finding that our relationship with Krishna also is intermittent and flickering. You know, it is on, off. You know, we are sometimes with Him, sometimes we are not. So, one of the problems with devotional service is that we may be so caught up in our service that we are only looking at that achieving certain objectives and goals and doing to the best of our ability, but not seeing the larger picture of that we have to remember Krishna. So we can be completely caught up in, you know, in a particular service and defining our success and saying this is, and if I should get it or don't get it, that's my only goal. But the larger picture is that this service is a conduit to us to remember Krishna. So if we don't remember Krishna, if we are not remembering Krishna in various ways, as we see in the purport as in Arjun's case, how is he now, as his constant remembrance of Krishna, the lotus feet of the Lord increased, all the material desires vanished. So, we have been given the solution. So, that we need to remember, that we have to somehow or the other try to remember Krishna in whatever services we are doing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives this example that about the flickering happiness is because it is not that like Krishna is like the sun and the sun is always shining, but then there are clouds. For those who are sitting under the cloud, then naturally they are not getting the sun. And therefore, it is like you know, it's like when they are if they come out into the sun, they'll get the full benefit. So same way, if we are not remembering Krishna and if we want to, or not remembering all the time, that's like being under the clouds. So till the time we are under the cloud, we will not get the sun. We can't blame and saying that it is cloudy, or, because it is our own activity which is yielding, leading us to that. So Krishna, when we are in a process of devotional service also, Krishna's in energy, is Mahamaya, is also try to misdirect us. So, one of the, especially in the initial years, that attracting the, putting the material allurements on a higher level, or tempting us that this is better, why should we go through that, is one of the initial tests that we or go through. But assuming we have passed that, or assuming we have accepted it and carried on, and we are at least in the after some time, and that is that's quite possible that the more we associate, that we are at least able to overcome that. But then Maya's attacks also become very subtle. Because even if we are in our Krishna conscious activities in our spiritual world, devotional world, we tend to do things according to our nature, and even our services also according to our nature, in all sincerity, which is a good thing. Because if we are not doing our services according to our nature, then we will be frustrated, we will be upset, and it may not last long, or we are feeling out of place, and we are forcibly doing it and causing disruptions. If we are doing it according to our nature, then it is much easier, much better. But also there also Maya gives us challenges, because if we are normally when we are doing things according to our nature, then we are actually good at it. And when we're good at it, that means we also have the mentality of I am doing it. So so we can't let our guard down. When we are also facing Maya, when we are facing our the services, it is there all the time. Prabhupada was once Giriraj Maharaj, Jesolian Giriraj Maharaj mentioned that Prabhupada, when he came to Juhu, and this must have been when he was almost 78 or 79, and he was looking at Radha Ras Bihari with very devotional eyes, and he's very moved. So at that time, Jesolian Giriraj Maharaj was a brahmachari, so he was standing behind him. Then he was asking Prabhupada that what were you serving, or what were you looking, and what were you thinking? So Prabhupada said that I'm just praying to Radha Ras Bihari that Maya shouldn't attack us. So, for Prabhupada to say that, it definitely didn't apply to him. But he was also, that is his humility, but for himself, but for others also it is a warning, or it is an explanation to us that, we can't let our guard down, because Maya can be any time. And one way is that even if we are, whatever services we are doing and we are doing it well, that pride comes in us. Now, pride is already there in us. It is not that it comes in. Pride is there. It is within us. But there was one devotee who, I don't remember this, but actually when he did something, when he came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, he did something very nice, and everyone had complimented him, and then Prabhupada told him, he said that, Prabhupada, but unfortunately I'm feeling, at times I feel proud. So Prabhupada said, so what's wrong? So pride is there, it's natural, but what we are looking at is that where does that pride become a problem? The pride is not that we do things well. The pride is not that we that just because I'm doing well and I do it just because I do according to my nature and I'm doing it well, so I may be proud, so I should not do it. No, the pride comes that because I'm doing well, and then I'm expressing my pride through that. I'm expressing my pride because I'm doing it well, and that is proactively taking that action to show that I've done it well. That is where the danger is. So it is not just when we are proud of our spiritual master, we're proud of our devotees, we feel so proud from others. But if we are finding that we are that we'll allow this pride that as an expression of what we are our activities expressing and demonstrating to others, that is the danger that we have to avoid. So it can happen in anything. If we are, for instance, even organizing a program, or even organizing a yatra, for instance, we may be very proficient at that, administratively very well managed. If the consciousness is to somehow feel that I have done it, and also that others should notice it, Or are we doing it just in, whether we are noticed or not, very happily, continuously doing it? That is what we need to question. It may be in fundraising, maybe collecting donations or giving donations, book distribution, deity worship, any kind of service that we are doing, is the motive, hidden motive, or simultaneous motive maybe. There may be, certainly we are wanting to do it because it is the right thing and we want to please, but if it is also very much combined with our own feeling of being observed, appreciated, acknowledged, and that becomes, and yes, one can't say that we don't have that, but if that is the subservient desire or that is our driving desire, you know, our excitement to do a service, what is making us excited? Is it because that I'm doing it because I will now be much more visible? Sometimes, you know, we may have that opportunity that, okay, I want to take the service because compared to that service, because here I'm going to be speaking to, I'm comparing for 200 people in front of me, and, you know, I have a flair of some humor, some nice ways, maybe, could be. Is that the reason? Or and I've chosen because of that compared to other services? Or is it that we, whatever we are good at, and we do it well with all sincerity, and it pleases us that it pleases others? You know, so the subservient nature of feeling happy, is that predominant or subservient is critical. So this, how we define our success, needs to be examined, because if our success, as we said, that, you know, we say that if I do this service well and then only I'll be happy, then what happens is that we are wedded to that definition, and then if it doesn't happen, we get frustrated. So again, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu makes this distinction between plans and planning. We said that, you know, so we should not be wedded to plans, but the process of planning, that means we take, the planning helps us to take a direction that we need to do this, and we are flexible. We are allowing Krishna to play whatever role he will play in our life. He may allow us to, that we have a certain plan and we go ahead. But the planning process has flexibility in taking us other opportunities or other ways if this plan doesn't work. But if we are completely focused and saying only this, like my next 4 years I'm only going to see that I can run the 100 meters in 10.1 seconds, not 10.2. That's my goal. And if that doesn't happen, you know, world collapses, 4 years effort goes. So the activity, the effort, everything, the endeavor is there. Krishna sees that. But the consciousness behind it is critical for us. So not only our happiness becomes, it will be as a result of our activities that we do rather than focusing on that. But also, if we are not wedded to the to our own success definition, then we will be satisfied and contented, because we are not so upset or frustrated when something doesn't happen, and then we have to close that direction and go to something else, because we have to keep that, and that happens all the time. So remembering that Krishna is pleased with our endeavor, he is pleased with our struggle, is the most important takeaway. That Krishna is, we have to, certainly we make an effort for results. But we are not wedded to that result only, because we know that it could happen, it may not happen. So many times we have experienced that things have happened when we have not even planned for it. And sometimes we just take the credit for it. But actually, we have benefited when we have not planned. We have also planned for something, it doesn't happen. And we have not planned, then we get it. So favorable, unfavorable, both ways. So clearly we have got enough experience with us to know how situations work, and therefore even in devotional service, not wedded to a particular definition of success is very critical. And then within the Vedic culture, Srila Prabhupada brought in the aspect of Varnashram. So he initially, when he started the movement, he never really gave any emphasis to the Varnashram structure. But in the last 3-4 years, especially after 74, why? Because he saw that within the first 6-7 years, the movement had, you know, really grown so rapidly all over the world. There were almost 100 centers or so by then. But then there were a lot of problems in both the ashrams. both the predominant ashrams, the brahmacharis and the grihasthas. In the grihasthas, there were also difficulties in marriage, the divorces. Brahmacharis also had difficulty in retaining their renunciation vows. So he was then emphasizing that as a social structure which could enable our lifestyle and our Krishna consciousness, so externally it provides a kind of a community, kind of family, a kind of, loosely you can say, a fortress. Physically, if you were to put all of them together, we could have almost, if not a district town, at least a taluka. You take all the devotees, but here we are all over, but through technology we are close to each other. So, primarily creating this fortress for ourselves, having almost all the needs that are there. He saw that need and he was emphasizing that, that it was something which is really, which could benefit a lot of people to do many things according to their nature. So, the opportunities will become increasing because of these services that are would increase substantially. And as we just discussed that, we know because from our Chopati experience, but when we started the yatras, for instance, the festivals that we have here, there are various outings, and then there are house programs. So there is a lot of engagement and also inviting devotees to homes. So grihasthas have a lot of involvement when grihasthas have come to the temple. So primarily this social structure is an enabling one which really helps all of us to try to ultimately perform the goal of, try to come nearer the goal of somehow remembering Krishna and whatever we do. So ultimately we have the individual initiatives. The initiatives are with us. The motivation will depend on our contentment and our conviction. Basically, our conviction will lead to our sincerity, desire. And when we are sincerely trying to follow it, automatically whatever strengths we have, the individual initiatives that we can take in a variety of ways, and that is exactly what we see. Well, we see that there are challenges, we see there are, there may be some gaps, and we always see there are always issues because we are all human beings. So, on and off we hear about the world of ISKCON, there's something or the other, some problem, and then we hear officially, unofficially. But rather than looking at those negatives, which are a product of, not a product of philosophy, it's a product of individual weaknesses, we should see that how when individuals actually take their initiatives in the positive way, and with full courage, conviction, and strong desire to follow the path, how much is achieved individually, how people's lives are transformed. And all of us have experienced here when you see that a devotee comes in, new person, and in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, in a short time, there is such a transformation of people. So it's not necessarily externally, but we see a maturity, kind of, a humility. Person really belongs to, wants to embrace spiritual culture. We can see actually it happening. It's very almost tangible. So if you look at that, then we know that what Prabhupada said in the purport that, the trash of material desires will, which we have flooded with occasionally, will go away as we take up to devotional service, and if we avoid the pitfalls in devotional service, continuously follow it sincerely. So we'll end here. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.